He is risen. Come on. Oh, I used to get so frustrated because that's a Tigger statement, right? And I have a Tigger response to things. I don't know if you've noticed, me and Pastor are just, we're wired a little different. Do I have slides, Rye? No, we're way back. Oh, that's, well, we'll get there in about 15 minutes. The first slide? The one that says he is risen and has a picture of Tigger by it? There we go. No, that's the last slide. Now they know the punchline. No, go, there we go. There's the first slide. This is being recorded on Zoom, so you can mock me later. Yeah, he is risen is this, it's this Tigger statement. Do you guys know Tigger? Bouncy, 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 fun. See, people pointed this out when Pastor was a vicar, and they were like, you guys are different. You're like Tigger. You're all over the place. And I don't know if you've ever seen Scott preach. He, like, stands here. Now, all of you have an opinion on that. Like, some of you are like, man, that's refreshing. My neck doesn't hurt at the end of a sermon. Others are like, move. See, this was my reaction when somebody told me I was Tigger. And some of you, you're just naturally wired that when you hear he is risen, yeah, you like that. And some of you are just like, man, I'm not digging it. Now, please don't mishear me. I am not saying anything negative about Pastor Scott. He pointed out a couple weeks ago that it just takes a little bit more to get him excited. He said, watching Packers gets him excited. He said, and I just want to apologize to this, he said, getting to tell me I told you so gets him excited. So that one time just really stuck with you. I'll work on it. But I found one he forgot to tell you, and I have not seen Pastor more excited than when he gets to take a nap. He came in the other day, and we had a Wednesday night service, and he went home and taken a nap, and he was just stoked. And so when Allison emailed this week, Allison's our director of communication, and she said, do you have your fill-in-the-blanks ready? And my job here is to, when people don't turn their stuff in on time, I have to go yell at them. So when Allison emailed me and said it isn't in on time, I had to go into the bathroom and stare in the mirror and yell at myself for about 5 minutes. And that got me thinking, how would Eeyore celebrate Easter? And this is the line I came up with. The tomb is empty. Emptiness. And by the way, my wife's an Eeyore too, and she says, you cast it like it's a negative thing. We're just realists. The tomb is empty. We like this. We like crowds. Who's with me? Who likes it a little bit more crowded? We were kind of worried this morning about overfilling, and I want to apologize. Literally this morning we had some people show up, and we couldn't fit them into this service, and man, that as a Tigger, that breaks my heart. I love the crowd. I love being packed in there. I love lots of people. This year has taken the wind out of my sails a little bit. Not being surrounded by people all the time. It's been a little bit like this, just an empty space. See, to me, empty, empty feels scary. Empty feels sad. Empty feels empty. But this is what Scripture tells us. Scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And when I looked at this text, I've preached 20-some sermons on He is risen, and not once have I preached on the emptiness. And what I know for sure is that God meets us in the emptiness. See, the empty tomb isn't the only time God shows up in the emptiness. This year we've been spending a lot of time looking at the narrative arc, the crimson thread that weaves through all of Scripture, the things that connect. We're back in the Old Testament, back in the Hebrew Scriptures, back in Genesis and Exodus, the very best book in Scripture, connects to the Gospels, connects to the letters. And so today we want to look at go ahead and throw it to that next slide. We want to look at the temple. Now, if you recall, the temple is the place in the Hebrew scriptures where God met with his people. It was a place where on the outside, and this is just a reconstruction, on the outside was the court of the Gentiles, reminding us that this gospel message is supposed to not just be for one people group, one socioeconomic status, one group of people, but for all people, that God is calling all people to himself. You got the court of the women, you got the court of the men, and then inside of that building, the priests could go and worship. On the front side, you have a curtain, or you have a door. Inside, you've got a curtain, and that curtain separates the Holy of Holies, the place where God dwelt, and everything else. One priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. They would actually tie a rope around the priest's waist and attach it to bells, because when they came into the presence of God, they didn't know if he'd just drop dead if he wasn't pure. And if he did, they wanted to be able to pull him out. See, we know that sin has a toxic effect. Can I get an amen there? Anybody tasted a little sin that's had that toxic effect? This isn't some scriptural abstraction. This is sin hurts and sin kills. And we know that God's presence doesn't deal with sin, that God is pure. And we know that that's why Christ went to the cross to die for our sins, because that's the effect of sin, is death. But today we celebrate that death has been conquered because he is risen. See, on that Good Friday, that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, it tore in two from top to bottom. God saying, I am no longer just meeting you within this place. I am meeting with you everywhere. But see, when you went into that Holy of Holies, where was God in that? There were a couple things in the Holy of Holies, and one of them is the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant, where did God show up? If you have your Bibles, flip them back to Exodus, because, come on. Exodus 25 is where God is giving Moses. Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and God is giving him the instructions on how to build all the things in the tabernacle, which is the blueprint for the temple. And inside the Holy of Holies, he would build the Ark of the Covenant, where God would dwell. They put some things in the Ark. They reminded him of that identity. But here's the description. In chapter 25, verse 17, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2 cubits and a half. A cubit's from the fingertip to the elbow. So we're talking 3.5, 4 feet. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold. See the cherubim? They're the angels. Hammered work shall make them. And on the ends of the mercy seat, 1 cherubim on one end and 1 cherub on the other, of one piece with the mercy seat, you shall make them with the cherubim on its 2 ends. And the cherubim shall spread their wings out above, overshadowing the mercy seat, with their faces toward each other. Toward the mercy seat they shall face, or shall the faces of the cherubim be. And you shall make the mercy seat on the top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you. There I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat. Where did God meet with the people? At the mercy seat. In case you can't read Exodus and put the visual together, do you see where the mercy seat is? You've got the 2 cherubim touching wings, and you've got that space in the middle of the cherubim. You see what's there? Nothing. It's empty. Because all the way back in the Hebrew scriptures, God tells us, I'm going to meet you in the emptiness. It is so easy to see God in the mountaintop, He is risen moments. But brothers and sisters, God meets us in the emptiness. And we just got to get real about this. It's been a year. And what I've heard people saying is, man, it'll all be better when I just don't have to wear this thing. You want to know the problem? It won't be. It won't be. Yeah, it'll be a little bit more comfortable, and I'll have weird tan lines that everybody will see, but it won't be better. See, this year, it's given me a little taste of emptiness. It's given me a little taste of loneliness. It's pointed out some places where there's tensions that I don't know what to do with, and I ain't got enough in me to make it right. And what we know is that especially us Americans, when we're under stress, we don't know what to do with mental health. We know that man, when I'm having thoughts that I don't know what to do with, we still attach a ton of shame to talking to somebody. See, when people come into my office and they say, Pastor, I need to talk, the first thing they always say to me when they come in for pastoral counseling is, hey, I'm so sorry. No, we need each other. As we re-enter the whatever this new normal post-pandemic, post-COVID stuff is, some of us are having hard times. And when you hit those hard times, realize that God meets you in the emptiness. God meets you in the suffering. And this isn't some spiritualized abstraction. God consistently works through His people. That's why we partnered with Cross Connections. Cross Connections is a group of Christian counselors that comes alongside because they, alongside of us, believe that God meets us in the emptiness. When you're empty this year, realize that God meets us there. For the next, in May, it's Mental Health Month. Because we got to get okay talking about this when we're having the struggles, when the wind is taken out of our sails, when we're dealing with depression and doubt and fear. That's what the church is about. Did you catch how the scripture ended this morning? On that very first resurrection Sunday, it says the women left the tomb and they didn't do anything because they were afraid. And yet they gathered with the church and went forward. Another resource, I just want to throw this. We want to thank our friends at the Lutheran Foundation. They don't just write big checks. Look up if you need help. Just go to lookup.com. I hope I'm saying that right. Just Google Lutheran Foundation. But if you're dealing with this stuff, the church is here to help. And this is another way to help. I just can't emphasize this enough. We're here to walk alongside you when you're dealing with the emptiness. See, I'd love to pretend that I'm naturally wired as Tigger and Scott's naturally wired as Eeyore, but there are moments that I have Eeyore moments, and if you ever have the chance to watch a football game with this brother, bouncy, 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 fun, 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 fun. And then things fly at the TV. See, here's the deal. God meets us in the emptiness. The tomb is empty, for He is risen. He's risen. Jesus has conquered sin and death on that cross. That's why we're here today. That's why in the midst of the emptiness, we still have hope. But it's not an escapism. See, somehow on the cross, Jesus redefines death, that death is no longer victor. Death is no longer something we have to fear. Death is victim. Death has fallen short. Death has been emptied of its power. And in the empty tomb, Jesus is redefining emptiness. I want to just start that reframing. We got a few farmers here. And it's amazing to see how a farmer looks at an empty field. And they get one every year. Every year there's the struggle and the strain of, will anything come out of the field this year? Man, our farmers have this faith because they take a mystery and they put it in the ground and they hope and pray that God will make all the elements right so that all of us can eat. See, a farmer looks at the emptiness and they see nothing but potential. Their question becomes, what's God going to do this year? How's God going to show up in this emptiness and make a whole new creation? I've talked to so many people already that this pandemic shook them to the core and it left them empty. And as they're starting to come out the other side, they're going, hold on, maybe God wants to call me to something different. Maybe there's a new field where I can step into it and witness for my risen Lord and Savior in a whole new way, where I can spread that message that death has been defeated, that sin has been swallowed up in victory, and that emptiness is potential. See, here's how it ends. Here's the truth. This is a statement of joy too. The tomb is empty. And even in Eeyore personalities, in Eeyore moments, our personality isn't what defines it. The fact is, all the church in all the moments says, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you've made us such a diverse group. The way we process information is different. The way we feel things is different. But you died for us all just the same. God, thank you that we no longer have to worry about death. Thank you that you paid for all of our sins. Thank you that we don't have to do anything. But because of you, we can do everything. And Lord, continue to hear us as we pray.